So good morning, everyone. Good morning. Happy I'm able to give the shiur this morning, and Bezrat Hashem, hope that will continue. I wanted to make a few comments because we're about to go into a period of time that's extremely unique during the course of any Jewish year, but especially this year. And I am referring to the fact that we're within the 30 days before Pesach, but it's a special Pesach because it's not just a Pesach that unfortunately we're still dealing with the terrible pandemic. But second to that, it's an Erev Pesach Shechal Liyot B'Shabbat. Namely, Erev Pesach, which is usually a day that's filled with burning the chametz and getting ready for the Seder physically, happens to be Shabbos. And that brings upon us many, many challenges, and I want to deal with them during the next few weeks. However, I want to make four introductory comments before we do that. Number one, I have no tolerance for ignorance when it comes to halacha. I have tolerance for ignorance in many different areas. For example, unfortunately, I've had medical challenges in the last 2 weeks. If a doctor tells me, take this pill and you get better, I don't ask questions. I can care less how the pill will influence or not influence. He says to take it, I take it. If I get better, his wish and my wish is that we never see each other again. Did I just sum up how doctor patients would like to be in a relationship? Their relationship is, I hope never to see you again. You will give shalach manos to your doctor if you never have to ever call him. However, we want a relationship with God, don't we? The Rambam Paskins in Sefer HaMitzvot, his book of Mitzvot, the 613, mitzvah number 5 of the positive, the Rambam Paskins, and you shall serve God with all your heart. This means davening, and this means Torah learning. Namely, through davening and Torah learning, we have a relationship with God. In davening, we talk to God, and in Torah learning, God talks to us. So from this perspective, we do want a relationship with God. So therefore, when it comes to halacha, I never understood people who prefer to have the same relationship with halacha like they do with their doctor. Namely, just tell me what to do. All right, I should eat egg matzah. I should eat pita on the porch and eat my Shabbos meal inside. I should be a good trained monkey. That's good enough for me. I don't ask questions. Then you have no relationship with God. The relationship means you take ownership over your halachic behavior via Torah learning. The pasuk says, "Ushmart." Uvilimadetem otam ushmartem lasotam, and you shall learn the Torah and fulfill it. If you just fulfill it without learning it, you get 50%. And Arthur, I don't think you ever were happy with a 50 on a test that you can get 100 on. So number one, I have no tolerance for ignorance. We're coming up to a challenging halachic time. Let us please take ownership over it. Let's learn it, understand it, and then we'll have a beautiful relationship with God as well as with our families who will see very unique things this coming year. Introductory comment number one. Bruce, you've been moving around.
Yeah, just to correct a perhaps a mistaken interpretation or rationale for doctors. There's going to a doctor when you're sick, and you're looking for some band-aid or some antidote or some drug. And then you go to physicians sometimes for preventative medicine.
Right.
For how you can stay healthy. And we're not accustomed to doing that. Although, again, as a former chiropractor, many patients came for more preventative medicine advice. And if they wanted to see their, particularly the chiropractor, it felt pretty good. You definitely did not want to see your medical doctor when you were sick. But you do want to see your doctor to help you stay healthy. Maybe that's what you're referring to in the davening.
No, I'd say either or. Either or, Bruce. At the end of the day, I don't believe that if your doctor tells you, okay, every morning drink a cup of water, you want to understand exactly how the cup of water is going to help you. Yes, no, maybe. The bottom line is, if it helps, it helps. It's good enough for me. I don't need to have a relationship with my doctor. I'll just follow his instructions. But that shouldn't be the way we live our lives above and beyond the doctor's appointment. And I have a feeling that when it comes to halachic behavior, many people out there who care about halacha care about just ushmartem lasotam. Let's do it. Why do we do it? What's the reasons for it? How can we enhance it? Doesn't bother me. And then you impinge upon the relationship you have with God. It becomes an act that's just physical and not emotional nor intellectual. And therefore, my first point is, challenging here, pick up any of the pamphlets that are about to come out. And Arthur, there'll be endless, endless pamphlets. Don't worry, you don't need another one from me. Therefore, there's no source sheet this morning. There's plenty out there, and we'll discuss all the issues, hopefully. But the bottom line is, take responsibility over your halachic behavior. It shouldn't be a primitive halachic lifestyle. It should be a relationship with God in which we learn it and we do it.
Well, that's getting away from Nasa v'Nishma.
No, Nasa v'Nishma means to do it and to learn it. And that's exactly what we're doing.
Just tell me what to do, right?
Do it and understand it. So we take the pamphlet. Okay, we need to eat egg matzah, pita, whatever it might be. Now let's understand what the issues are. Introductory comment number two. Once you've established that, you will see that this particular year, compromise is obligatory. Namely, if you were used to halachic behavior that's, I'm going to yotze all the shitas, I'm going to be this pure halachic behavior method in which every shita under the sun I'm going to fulfill, I can promise you that this particular year, as you edge towards Erev Pesach, Shechali Hiyot B'Shabbat, you will have to compromise. My only regret is that I don't have my own Rebbe and mentor, Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Amital Zecher Tzadik Levracha around. I would love to discuss with them, is this the ideal or the real? But forget about the philosophical question. Practically, this year, you will have to compromise. That will be part of it. And I've said around this table many times that halacha means the books in this hand, reality in this hand, how do they walk together? It's never going to be a perfect mathematical equation. So if you're used to on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, there's a machlokes, do you say Shehechiyanu or don't you say Shehechiyanu? On the one hand, it's the second night of Yontiv, it might be the first night. On the other hand, it's a Yom HaArichta. So I'll tell you what we do, says the Maharam. Put a new fruit on the table, and just in case you don't have to make a Shehechiyanu on Rosh Hashanah, you're saying Shehechiyanu on the new fruit. Very nice, we can solve the second night of Rosh Hashanah. You cannot solve all those issues this year on Erev Pesach Shechaliyot B'Shabbat. Compromise is obligatory, and get used to it, because you're going to have to make a decision of going with this Shita and not with that Shita. I'll just give you one little tiny example, and we'll get into it later. Shalosh Shudos. When is the right time to eat Shalosh Shudos? No? We just went through Shabbos a few days ago. We're about to go through another. When is the right, proper time to eat Shalosh Shudos?
After Mincha.
Very good. Before Ma'ariv. Before Shkia. Excellent. What's the problem on Erev Pesach Shechaliyot B'Shabbat with doing that? At that time, you can't eat chametz, so no lechem mishne. You can't eat matzah, Erev Pesach. So what are you going to do Shalosh Shudos on? So one day I will say use egg matzah. Another day I will say no, egg matzah is like real matzah. You should use pita, but eat Shalosh Shudos in the morning. Get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, daven at 6 o'clock in the morning. By 7 o'clock, eat your first meal. By 9 o'clock, eat your second meal. But wait a minute, can you eat Shalosh Shudos in the morning? The Bahag says yes, the Tosfot says no. But just in case I'm wrong, I'm going to eat another Shalosh Shudos after Mincha. But that Shalosh Shudos, I can't use bread. I can't use any sort of bread. Not matzah, not bread, not egg matzah, garnished. So what am I going to do? I'm going to use meat and potatoes. Wait, meat and potatoes? You don't have a Lechem Mishnah. You don't even have one bread. Do I begin to convey to you that you're going to have to compromise? Shalosh Shudos on Erev Pesach Shechaliyot B'Shabbat, whatever you're going to do, you're going to compromise. And get used to it. That's this year. So secondly, this year, forget about, I'm going to yotze all the shitas. That is very nice. to be discussed? Impossible. On Erev Pesach Shechaliyot B'Shabbat. So you got to get used to that this year as we edge towards this unique Pesach. Number three, ignorance not tolerated. Compromise obligatory. Introductory comment number three. I believe that we have to also establish that you, not a rabbi, not a posek, have to be part of a halachic discussion. And the reason for that is that if you are part of the halachic discussion, you're part of the solution. Don't think for a moment that only the rabbis come up with solutions. They come up with solutions by being part and parcel of the world, and the world means you, more than the rabbis. You live in the real world. As I like to quote Rav Herschel Schechter, who's a great posek, the primary posek, one of the primary poskim of our generation. He says, I never worked a day of my life. What do? I give shir and yeshiva, and I paskin shilas for the OU. That's work? You work for a living. You know what it means to work for a living. So when I want to deal with the real world, he has to talk to Balabat. You have to be part of the discussion. So therefore, I don't want to limit our discussion here by virtue of source sheets, because I feel many a times that when I give sources, it may be a nice source sheet, it may be a terrible one, you may like my PowerPoints, you may think they're junky, but the bottom line is, it's limiting, because I'm sort of always in the sources, and so are you. I want to have a lively Torah Shebaal Peh discussion, because these issues are going to be real in our kitchens, in our homes. With those three introductory comments, no ignorance, compromise, and be part of the discussion, let's begin the discussion. Everyone ready? Harold, you're okay there?
Yes.
Okay, very good. So let's begin. I want to begin as I should, mehakal el akaved, and because I'm a troublemaker, I'm going to go mehakaved el akal. There are many issues this year that are very easy to solve. When do we do bedikas chametz? When we get rid of our chametz? That's easy to solve. I want to go to the hardest issue. The hardest issue this year, in my opinion, is going to be what I've already went ahead and told you about earlier, and that is the issue of what do you eat at Shalosh Shudos this year on Erev Pesach Shechaliyot B'Shabbat. Now, start throwing out the challenges. Let's go. Challenge number one.
You can have fruits.
No. Harold, you're giving the solution. I want to hear the problem.
You can't wash.
You can't wash. Why can't you wash, Alex?
No bread.
No bread? Why can't you eat bread? It's Erev Pesach, it's not Pesach. Indeed, Erev Pesach is one of the strangest days on the calendar. I last night came to the realization that it's just Erev Pesach and Tisha B'Av. And you all know that Pesach and Tisha B'Av correspond to the same day on the calendar. These are the only 2 days a year where there's a difference between before Chatzot and after Chatzot. Every other day of the year, it's Yom Kippur from night to night. It's Sukkot from night to night. Right? It's Purim from night to night. It's Hanukkah from night to night. All of a sudden, Erev Pesach, there's a huge difference between before Chatzot and after Chatzot. The closest you get outside of Tisha B'Av and Erev Pesach is which day? Okay, this is a trick question. Asara be'av, more minhag based, but okay, I accept. Connected to Tisha B'Av, yes.
Because after Chatzot is when you can start doing laundry and other things.
You're right. One is connected to the other, says Harold, because at Chatzot on Tisha B'Av, that's when they started to burn the Beis HaMikdash, and it ended on Chatzot on Yud Ba'av. So, yes, one is connected to the other. When I said Tisha B'Av, I meant Tisha and Yud Ba'av, correct. There's another thing. We don't say Avarachamim, and from that perspective, Akel Mole, in the morning of certain Shabbases. But in Mincha, we do. That's the closest you get. But every other day of the year, the whole day is either happy or sad. There's no such thing as dividing the day into two. All of a sudden, Erev Pesach and Tisha B'Av, smack in the middle of the day. From Chatzot on, there's an Isser Achilat Chametz Mideoraisa. from an hour before Chatzot, there's an Isser Achilas Chametz and Hana'a from Chametz. Midirabanan. And an hour before that, 2 hours before Chatzot, you already can't eat Chametz Midirabanan. So how does this affect us on this particular Erev Pesach? Now think of Shabbos. Came home from shul, good Shabbos, davening was tolerable today, not so bad. Shachris was junky, Musaf was better, the rabbi's sermon was but what can you expect from the rabbi? He prepared the sermon at the Chazarat HaShatz in any case. I always say, a rabbi gives a good sermon based on how long he walks to shul. If he has a long walk to shul, he has a great sermon. If he has a short walk to shul, he has a terrible sermon, because that's where he usually prepares his sermon, right? I hope not. I hope not. If a rabbi prepares a sermon on the way to shul, it's never going to be good. But gentlemen, you came home from shul. What do you do? Good Shabbos. Let's make Kiddush. Let's eat. So you eat the second meal of Shabbos after Shachris and Musaf with a Lechem Mishnah and a Kiddush. Why can't you do that on this Erev Pesach, Shechaliot B'Shabbat? Unless you're davening very early, by a certain point in the day, in the morning, you're no longer allowed to eat chametz. Say, for sake of argument, a 10:45 in the morning. So we have to push davening back, and then we won't have a problem. And we can wash, and we can have our lechem mishneh, and no problem. So problem number one is, you have to have an earlier Shabbos morning meal. If you call it lunch, then eat at 8 o'clock in the morning and pretend it's lunch. It's like when Rav Soloveitchik used to come into shir. Shir started at 11. He would come in at 2 o'clock, and the Mashgiach says, when the Rav comes in, it's 11 o'clock. Yeah, but it says 2 o'clock. Don't look at your watch.
Why can't you have the meal before Shachris?
Why can't you have the meal before Shachris? Answers Arthur. No gaiva here? Why not?
Because you're eating to fulfill a commandment.
You're absolutely right. You're eating also to fulfill a commandment, Arthur. But what else are you doing?
Eating before davening.
You're eating and enjoying it. You can't just say, I'm eating because I have to. I'm not enjoying one bit of what I'm doing. Anytime you eat in halacha, the halacha establishes that it's enjoying. Enjoyment. Therefore, even if you are forced to eat, there's hana'at me'ayim. So, therefore, it's a problem to eat before davening. So you daven early, you wash, no problem. You'll have an earlier lunch, and you'll pretend it's lunch. Problem number two. We took care of the time issue. What's the second problem? I love the way you're all looking at me as if, no issue. Let me ask you a question. Did any of your wives begin to bother you, bug you, about cleaning for Pesach?
Crumbs.
So every Shabbos, you take a moitzi lechem min haaretz, you take two challahs or whatever you eat for hamotzi, and gesinta hate. What's going to be an Erev Pesach shechal lihiyot b'Shabbat? Your whole house is kosher for Pesach. You're eating on your Pesach dishes. You're also not only eating on Pesach dishes, you're eating Pesach food. How exactly are you going to take two pieces of bread onto that sterile environment? Oh, you can eat it outside? Why do you have to eat inside? Eat outside. Now, eating outside, where do you mean outside, Arthur? Outside on your porch, outside in the street, outside where?
Outside on my porch.
Outside on your porch. So there's no problem of carrying, even if there's no Eruv. And it's your porch. But Arthur, if you make crumbs on your porch, isn't there Bal Yeroeh and Bal Yemotzeh on owning crumbs over Pesach? Oh, they're going to be hefker. Okay. So you took care of the crumbs. You don't own them, or you'll get rid of the crumbs. You'll sweep up after the meal. What are you going to eat? What are you going to eat? With the challah. What are you going to eat?
With the challah? What do you mean?
What are you eating? You usually do not eat chametz and matzah on Pesach. Am I correct? How do I know I'm correct? Prove it from the Seder. Reb Chaim Brisker had this beautiful hochacha from the Seder. Every kid says, Shebechol ha'leilot anu ochlim Chametz u'matzah. No problem. You can eat it now, today. Eat a little matzah with chametz. Can you do that on your Pesach dishes? Oh, we can use paper. So we've solved that issue. We're going to eat on the porch and we're going to use paper. Let's say it rains. It'll be gebrachs. Gentlemen, the second issue is, how are we supposed to eat bread if the whole house is kosher for Pesach? So that's issue number two. So the halacha is that you can eat bread at a certain corner in the room and then move over to another corner to eat the rest of the meal if it's in one room. If it's in two rooms, like porch versus inside, then you'll eat a kibitza outside, you'll eat a kezayit inside, and you can even bench inside. That's the halacha all year. You can look at Siman Kuf Samech Bet. If you eat hamoitzi lechem in haaretz on your porch and then you eat a little bit inside, then it would be okay. So you make no crumbs on the table. The Pesach dishes remain only matzah-based. And that's a very nice solution for Friday night and Shabbos morning before the time that you're not allowed to eat chametz. 10:45. How many meals do you have to eat on Shabbos?
Three.
And when did we say Shalosh Shudas time? After Mincha is a very nice time to eat Shalosh Shudas, especially since in Israel we used to be a Jewish country, but we're no longer so Jewish. Why do I say that? Not because of the Supreme Court decision this week about certain conversions, but rather because if we were a true Jewish country, then for God's sake's name, they wouldn't change the clocks to daylight savings time a night before Pesach. Excuse me for being so upset. You couldn't do it a week later? The Seder is going to start at 7:30 plus, and that's if you get organized. And no one's getting organized by 7:30. What are you going to do? Achana mikodesh lechol. It's a terrible thing. But after I let off that steam, gentlemen, we're in daylight savings time. You can start eating Shalosh Shudas from, say, mincha time, which is usually what? 1:15, 1:20 in daylight savings, no problem. What are you going to eat at Shalosh Shudas? So Friday night, you had your bread outside, you went back inside Shabbos morning early, you did the same trick. Shalosh Shudas, gentlemen. Let's go through it. Can you eat bread already? No, let's go slowly. Slowly, 1 second, slowly. What?
Is there an opinion that you don't have bread for Shalosh Shudas?
We'll get to it. Can you eat bread?
No.
No, out. Can you eat matzah? Why can't you eat matzah? The Gemara in Yerushalmi, not in the Bavli, says that whoever eats matzah on Erev Pesach is like, unfortunately, sleeping with their fiancé before getting married. It's a terrible thing. The beautiful interpretation on that particular passage, I have to say, one of the most beautiful interpretations on that passage is the following interpretation. How many brachas do you make at a chuppah?
Seven.
I forgot who says this. I'm looking as I'm talking to you. But one of the mefarshim explained that you can only eat matzah after you make seven brachas. What seven brachas? Anyone? No, go through the Seder. Kiddush. How many brachas at the Kiddush? Bari Priya Gafen, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim Shechiyanu. You got your three. Then you wash without a bracha. Okay? Don't make this mistake. Where's Bruce? Bruce, don't make the mistake of the Yeshuvnik. You know what the Yeshuvnik did? He got the Maxwell House Haggadah. He followed it to the T. He told his family, you have to wash now for Karpas, and you have to say Baruch Ata Hashem, Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu, and stop. Why? Because it says, don't say Al Netilas Yadayim. No, don't do that. We don't make any bracha. No bracha. Arthur, I thought you'd enjoy that. Okay, so you make three brachas, and then you make a bracha on the karpas. Which bracha? Brei Pri Adama. That's four. Then, after the whole Magid, you make the bracha Ga'al Yisrael 5, Borei Pri Agafen 6, You wash Netilat Yadayim with a bracha. Seven after seven brachas, you eat the matzah. Beautiful interpretation on that. Anyway, having said that, pardon? Correct. Absolutely. And therefore, from this perspective, you understand that according to those that say this, they actually diminish on the brachas. Many Svardim, do not make a second Borei Pri HaGefen. They make the first one at Kiddush, and it takes care of the one after Magid. Now you took off a bracha. In addition to which, according to some Rishonim, you don't make Borei Pri HaAdamah. It's covered by the Kiddush or by the meal. So, therefore you have that. Make a long story short, when you're about to eat the matzah, you've already made seven brachas. Whatever way you cut it. But the bottom line is, you can't eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So matzah is out the entire day. Chametz is out for Shalosh Shudas if you eat it after Mincha time. So what's left? How do you eat Shalosh Shudas on that Shabbos?
What about the egg matzah?
Comes Bruce and says, I got a solution. This is a solution for Friday night too. Arthur, just in case there's bad weather, I don't want to go outside, inside. Etiquette. Alex, we have etiquette. We sit at a table with a fork and a knife. We don't eat with our hands. So we're not going outside and inside. We're not going to have all the porches cave in on Erev Pesach Shechaliot B'Shabbat because all the Jews are sitting on their porches. No. We're going to eat egg matzah. Egg matzah is not real matzah. But it's not chametz. It's a perfect solution. It's like God gave us egg matzah for this year. We eat it on our Pesach dishes. We'll make a motzi on it. We'll eat it Friday night, Shabbos morning, Shalosh Shudas. Beautiful solution. Gentlemen, if life was so simple, this year would be over. You can all get a cup of coffee. So I am going to drink a sip of coffee and tell you why that solution is unfortunately not simple. Issue of?
Ashira.
Okay, so egg matzah is called matzah ashira with an ayin. Namely, it's a rich man's matzah. Real matzah is primitive, flour and water. Egg matzah is made with egg, apple cider. It's more rich. It doesn't taste anything like matzah. Is there an issue? So issue number one is, does it fall under the category of eating matzah on Erev Pesach? According to the majority of poskim, no. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, it's a great idea, use egg matzah. He's not the only one. Sfardi, Rav Yosef Karo. Who else said this? Rabbeinu Tam in Mesechet Psachim, Dav Tzaditet, Dibro Matchil Lo Yochal says, eat egg matzah on Erev Pesach Shechariot B'Shabbat. It's a great solution.
Egg matzah, is that made with crutches?
We'll get to that issue. So egg matzah, according to Rabbeinu Tam the Ashkenazi, and according to Rav Yosef Karo, the Sfardi is the best solution for Erev Pesach, Shechal Lihiyot B'Shabbat. Now we start with the problems. So Bruce gave us the egg matzah. It's a great idea. It's not chametz. It's not matzah. So we're not eating chametz after the proper time. We're also not eating matzah on Erev Pesach. And who agrees with Bruce? Rabbeinu Tam, the Ashkenazi, and Rav Yosef Karo, the Sfardi. This is real Jewish unity over here. Problems begin. Problem number one. Rav Soloveitchik read into a beautiful Rambam in Perek Vav of Hilchot Chametz Umatzah that egg matzah that you can't use at the Seder, so you can use it on Erev Pesach, is only matzah that's made with yayin, dvash, shemen, or chalav. If you mix in other juices outside of yayin, dvash, shemen, and chalav, you can use it at the Seder. B'dieved, it's not shmura matzah, but it works. The minute it works at the Seder, you can't eat it on Erev Pesach. So therefore, said Rav Soloveitchik, egg matzah is not a solution for at least Erev Pesach in the morning, because according to all poskim, that's when the Isser begins, perhaps the night before, Friday night. It's out. So issue number one, maybe egg matzah is real matzah. Now we're going to flip the matzah on the other side. You all know matzah has two sides, right? If you bake it with your hands, usually the two sides are not equal. If you bake it in a machine, they're beautiful. One square, they're equal. In this case, it might be matzah, according to Rav Soloveitchik's reading in the Rambam. So said Harold, I believe it was Harold, that said fruit juice. Did you say that, Harold? Okay. Harold said, no problem, let's make egg matzah with a little, not cider, let's put in a little wine. And then even according to the Rambam, you can't use it at the Seder, which means you can use it on Erev Pesach. Nice solution. I don't think they're about to make a production of these kinds of matzahs just to fulfill Rav Soloveitchik's chumrah in reading the Rambam. But you should know it's out there.
How much do you have to eat? Don't you have to eat a large amount in order to make it for the right shear?
We're going to get to your beautiful point, Arthur. It's actually, you don't know what a beautiful point you just made. So issue number one with the egg matzah is, yes, it's not, maybe it's matzah. If it's matzah, you can't eat it on Erev Pesach, at least from the morning. Maybe Friday night, yes, but not in the morning. And definitely not in the afternoon.
If it's made with fruit juices, then you have to make a mezonos on.
But well, number two, maybe it's not even considered bread. Who said it's bread? Bread is flour and water. Who said egg matzah is bread? It could very well be one of the three examples of pat haba'a b'chisnin. Pat haba'a b'chisnin means either a cracker, an apple pie, or anyone? What's the third example of pat haba'a b'chisnin? Apple pie, cracker, or a piece of cake. Those are the three examples. What is the halacha? If you're eating it as a snack, it's mizonos. And if you're eating it as a meal, it's hamotzi. So egg matzah, which is not flour and water. Maybe the bracha is not even hamotzi. If it's not hamotzi, you can't use it for lechem mishneh. That's issue number two. Maybe it's not even bread. And number three, maybe it's the ultra, ultra, ultra bread. What do I mean? How many people here last year bought egg matzah for Pesach? Justin, you bought it. Justin, you have a Hebrew name. What's your Hebrew name? All right, we can't hear you.
Yitzchak.
Okay, you should change it. Yitzchak, Justin brought egg matzah last year. Why is it the majority of people on this Zoom didn't buy egg matzah? No? Anyone? It's matzah ashira. What's the problem with matzah ashira? The Ramah paskins that matzah ashira may be chametz. And we don't exactly paskin that way. I'll explain. The Gemara says that if you have matzah that doesn't have flour and water, but rather flour and flour and fruit juice, it's not machmitz like flour and water. And according to most poskim, it's not chametz. But the Rashi explains, no, it's more chametz than chametz. It becomes chametz before the 18-minute mark. So the choshesh for Rashi, the Ramah paskins that Ashkenazim don't eat egg matzah unless they need to. So we don't eat egg matzah on Pesach because it may be chametz. So as you can see, our egg matzah has three issues. We thought this is the cleanest solution. It's not chametz on the one hand, and it's bread on the other. Number one, it may not be bread. It's you use fruit juice. Number two, it may be matzah, according to the Rambam and Rav Soloveitchik's reading, unless you put wine in there. And number three, it may be chametz. If it's chametz, you can eat it in the morning, but you can't eat it at Shalosh Shudas.
I have to say that it's one of the stupidest things to me. It sounds like one of the stupidest things in the world. It either is kosher to Pesach or it's not. How do you I think what it does is, I think it degrades anyone who gets hashgacha for egg matzah, because they're saying, because if you're saying it's a shayla, if a lot of people feel it's a shayla, it either is or it isn't. The fact that we don't eat it could be a minhag.
No, there can be some groups that can eat it, some that can't. For example, zakeh can eat it possibly.
Arthur, I agree and I disagree. I'll explain why. I'm going to agree with you, first of all. I think it's scandalous that on egg matzahs, it says kosher for Pesach, big in English, and then in Hebrew, small. It says, lecholim v'skenim kamifusak v'ramah, ayein, where is the Ramah? The Ramah is in Tav Samich Bet Se'if Dalet. Now, I had a congregant, a nice man, traditional, not religious, okay? He said, Rabbi, I just bought my matzah for Pesach. He came and he showed me the matzah. Look at this, kosher for Pesach. I look at it, it's egg matzah. Now, the gentleman then said to me, and look, it even has Hebrew words. It must be very kosher. The Hebrew word said, oh, cholim v'skenim, look at the Ramah. Anyone read that? That's scandalous. Either it's kosher or not. When you give kashrus, it has to be black and white. I agree with Arthur. Having said that, Arthur, it goes against my philosophy earlier. And my philosophy earlier is, when it comes to halachic behavior, let's not be ignorant. So we, not the kashrus agencies, we can live with the fact that the Shulchan Aruch says, egg matzah is kosher for Pesach. And the Ramah says, we don't eat it, only cholim v'skenim, just like kidneyot. Different minhagim with regard to kidneyot. Within the kidneyot, there's different minhagim.
It should be considered a minhag as opposed to black and white.
It is a minhag. It is a minhag. And therefore, as I said earlier, Rabbeinu Tam, an Ashkenazi, said, use it. So we have three problems with egg matzah. It could be matzah, it could be chometz, or it may not even be bread. Those are the three problems with the egg matzah idea. So, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? The answer is, you're going to have to compromise. So either you're going to eat bread, no shiloh with bread, the only issue is practical. Don't trafe up your Pesach kelim. So as I said, you eat bread in one corner of the room, or you go outside. It's a bit difficult in hotels and other such places, but in your homes, that's a solution. But only Friday night, early Shabbos morning, before the time you can't eat chametz. Shalosh Shudas, we're still stuck. What do we do at Shalosh Shudas? If you eat egg matzah, you understand you're maktil on three issues. You're saying it's matzah, but not matzah enough for the Seder so you can eat it on Erev Pesach. It's not chametz. And number three, it's bread. So you're really maktil here. Now, if you're maktil, the ones that are maktil are only maktil to one extent. And here is compromise number two. We said that you should eat Shalosh Shudas after the time of Mincha Gedola. So a half an hour after Chatzos is Shalosh Shudas time. You cannot eat egg matzah or any grain-based product on Erev Pesach from what time? Let's say Knedelach. Knedelach you can eat on Erev Pesach. No one in their right mind would say Knedelach is matzah for the Seder. So you can eat Knedelach till what time? On Erev Pesach. This doesn't exist on Tisha B'Av. There's another cutoff time on Erev Pesach. We mentioned Chatzot, hour before Chatzot, 2 hours before Chatzot. Gentlemen, is there another critical time on Erev Pesach? Has anyone here heard of the ninth hour? Samuch Lemincha? How many people here are zochet to learn Daf Yomi? Daf Yomi this year has an amazing benefit. They're learning Perek Arve Psachim a month before Pesach. You can't get better than that. You're learning Daf Yomi and you're learning Hilchos Pesach 30 days before Pesach, and you're learning the fun parts. Kiddush, Seder night. You're not learning the annoying parts of Chametz, of Korban Pesach. So it's really amazing. This year it worked out nicely. One thing worked out. Nothing else worked out. This is the only thing that worked out. First of all, we have a terrible pandemic that changed our lives. Second to that is that this year has been the strangest year halachically. We began the year by not blowing shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, not shaking lulav on the first day of Sukkot. We went on to have a Hanukkah, where Shabbos Hanukkah was Vayeshev. We had an Asara B'Tevis on a Friday. We had a Purim on a Friday, which is Purim Meshulash in Yerushalayim, and now we have an Erev Pesach Chaliyot B'Shabbat. Nothing's normal. The only thing that was nice is that Arve Psachim, we're learning 30 days before Pesach. Beautiful. Now, if you look at Arve Psachim, Daf Tzadik Ted Amud Bet, the first opening daf of the last perek of Psachim, it says, Erev Pesach Samuch Lemincha Lo Yochal Adam Achetechshach. Erev Pesach, from the ninth hour of the day. The ninth hour is a half an hour before Mincha Ketana. You can't eat grain-based products. Therefore, if you're going to be mekel on egg matzah, because you're assuming it's not chametz, and you're assuming it's not matzah, and you're assuming that it's bread, then you better eat your shalosh shudis before the ninth hour of the day. The ninth hour, look when mincha ketana is, minus a half an hour, that's the ninth hour of the day. I don't mean 30 minute, half an hour, I mean sha'azmanit of that day. Gentlemen, is that easy? What do we usually do at that hour of the day? We usually eat shalosh shudis towards the end of Shabbos, be it the summer, the winter. At that hour of the day, I believe it's time for a matinee. It's time for a siesta. It's time for a nap. It's time for a schnatz, a schnatz horayim. It's time to take a nap. You're going to tell people eat shalosh shudis exactly when you're supposed to take a nap. I don't think that's a terrible problem. So you'll take less of a nap. You'll move your nap later in the day. You're going to be up at the Seder anyway late. Incidentally, this is the halacha. Every single Shabbos, that Motzei Shabbos, is a yontif. And people don't know this. The Magen Avraham says that on a regular Erev yontif or Shabbos, you can eat from the time of Mincha Ketana. On Erev Pesach, it's a little earlier, half an hour before. But any time that it's Shabbos, and you're going into Motzei Shabbos, or the first day of Yontif going into the second, from the ninth hour of the day, regular Yontif, 9:30, regular Shabbos, 9:30, Erev Pesach, or first Seder going into the second, ninth, you can't eat grain-based products, so you better eat your shalosh shudis earlier. So if you're going to use your egg matzah for shalosh shudis, then unfortunately, your shalosh shudis is going to be at a time that you usually don't eat shalosh shudis, just like your first meal was at a time perhaps earlier, if you're going to eat bread. So the whole Shabbos comes out to be the strangest Shabbos of the year. We're eating in the morning, very early, what we call lunch, and we're eating shalosh shudis before the ninth hour of the day, if you're going to use egg matzah. But if you say egg matzah is chametz, or if you say egg matzah is not chametz, but it's not bread, or if you say egg matzah is really matzah, so you can't eat it, any of those options, how are you mekayim shalosh shudis? First and second day meals we took care of. Either we're eating bread or we're eating egg matzah. Shoin, what about shalosh shudis? So, new suggest solutions. You better suggest either you're going to have to compromise on the time or on the menu. What do I mean? Let's start with the first option. Compromise on the time. We just said, when is the time to eat shalosh shudis? From mincha time. That's the Tosfot. That's the way we paskin. What happens if you eat shalosh shudis early in the morning? You go to a vasikin. You eat your second meal. You wait a little bit. You eat your third meal. All of this long before even the time of not eating chametz. Is that okay? Before mincha, the Bahag says it's okay. The Maharam would do that. So, that's option number one. It seems a little abnormal to us, because obviously, we usually don't do that. Second of all, it could be achila gasa. You're eating when you're not hungry. So therefore, that solution is out there. But, it's a compromise. It's a compromise on the time, and it might be even a compromise on achila gasa. Second option, let's not compromise on the time. Let's compromise on the menu. So we said you should have bread, but that's on a normative Shabbos. This Shabbos, Nishkein Breira, we don't have any choice. We have to compromise on the menu. So instead of a shalosh shudis with a lechem mishnah, we'll have a shalosh shudis without grain at all. How do we do that? There's a day that says shalosh shudis does not need bread. It's not like the first two meals of Shabbos. It's good enough to have basar, dugim, or peirot. So you can have a shalosh shudis in which you eat meat and potatoes and not grain-based products. And then you can have shalosh shudis even later in the day.
I have a question, Dad.
Yes?
When does it say that you have to have shalosh shudis? It doesn't say anything you have to have shalosh shudis. For instance, you're in America. Well, we have 2 days.
Shalosh Shudis is an absolute obligation on Shabbos. It's learned out from a pasuk, and it may even be the Oraisa. The pasuk says three times the word Hayom regarding Shabbos. Ichlu Hayom ki Hayom Kadosh LaHashem Hayom Lom Timseu Basadeh. The Gemara learns in Meseches Shabbos that from here we have to have three meals on Shabbos. We paskin only two on Yontif. So Shabbos you have to have three meals. But you're correct that you have to somehow balance that with the fact that you have to be hungry enough to eat a meal on Motzei Shabbos. So at the Seder, I always say it's the easiest because the Seder is long. So by the time you get to the meal, for sure you're hungry. But this is not the case on a regular Shabbos going into a Yontif, in which, yes, you have to make sure to eat the three meals of Shabbos prior to, again, Erev Pesach, the ninth hour, regular Shabbos Yontif, 9.5 hours. But on Erev Pesach, we have an additional challenge that we have to compromise on the menu. So either you're going to eat egg matzah and you're compromising. It may be chametz, it may be matzah, it may not even be bread. Or, take that out of the equation, you're only going to eat everything but bread, but grain-based products. So you're not going to eat egg matzah or chametz, chas v'shalom, it's after chatzot. You're going to eat meat and potatoes and peirot. The Ramah, incidentally, on this issue, lahalacha, the Shulchan Aruch says, eat egg matzah, there's no problem, I don't consider it chametz. Obviously, the Shulchan Aruch considers it bread, it's good enough for Lechem Mishnah. And he says, make sure to eat it before the ninth hour of the day, because that's already, you're not allowed to eat it, so you have an early Shalosh Shudis. The Ramah has a very obscure comment there, and here we're going to get to what Arthur said earlier. So the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbeinu Tam said egg matzah. The Ramah says, listen, I don't like the egg matzah idea. And this is the obscure comment he makes. I quote, in Shulchan Aruch Siman Tov Mem Dalet, Yudalet shechal liyot b'shabes seudah shlishit, zmana achar ha-mincha, v'az eno yachol la'asota lo b'matzah ve'lo b'chametz, elo b'matzah ashira, v'tzarich la'asota kodem sha'a asirit. Everything we just said, you can eat egg matzah, that's the best solution, and make sure you do it before the ninth hour of the day. On that, says the Ramah, Tuf Mem Dalet Aleph, Uve Mimidinot Elu. What does the Ramah mean in our countries?
Ashkenazim.
She'ein nohagim le'echol matzah ashira. Yekayem sudah shlishit bibinei peirot obasa v'dagim. What does the Ramah mean? What do you mean she'ein nohagim? So, the Nodebi Yehuda comes along and says, because the Ramah assumes that matzah ashira is chametz. Once it's chametz, 2 hours before chatzot, it's off the menu until after Pesach, unless you're a chol or a zakeh. So therefore, according to the Ramah, it's chametz, so you can't eat it. At Shalosh Shudis, only nishkein breira, peirot basar dagim. That's what you got for your Shalosh Shudis, gesinta hate.
Why are you reading that it's chametz? You might hold that you don't want
shalosh. Oh, that could be. I don't think that's the reason, because one second, Harold would say maybe it's not even bread. That's not the reason of the Ramah, Harold, because the Ramah, I skipped over it, and that's my fault. He says we don't eat matzah ashira kedil kaman siman tov samich bet seif dalet. And if you look in tov samich bet seif dalet, the Ramah says we don't eat matzah ashira because we think it may be chametz, not because we think it's not bread. So, if it's chametz, you can only eat it at the meal on the morning before Zman Achilas Chametz.
Maybe he's sort of referring not to Erev Pesach, but Pesach.
No, this was referring to Erev Pesach. I just started. Yud Dalet Shechal Liyot B'Shabbos. That's where the Ramah says it. So, the Ramah says, in our countries, we don't eat Matzah Ashira, therefore Basar Dagim Peros. The Nodebi Yehuda says, because the Ramah believes that Matzah Ashira is chametz, and you can't eat it from a certain hour of the day, therefore Shalosh Shudis is after Mincha. That's all you got left. You know who disagrees with the Nodebi Yehuda? The Aruch HaShulchan. He gives Arthur's reason. I couldn't believe it when I saw it because I thought, this is not the way rabbis talk. When you were in yeshiva, the biggest insult when there was a question in the shir was to say, the machlokes is a machlokes in metzius. Two realities. That's not a good explanation. What two realities? You gotta give a lumdisha explanation. Comes to Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Epstein, Rav Epstein lived already in the 20th century, and like Arthur said, you know why the Rama said what he said? I'll tell you what he meant. And I'm going to read the Aruch HaShulchan in my language. Umimidinot elu, in our countries, she'ein nohagin le'echol matzah ashira, we don't eat matzah ashira, and therefore, when you go grocery shopping for Pesach, there is no matzah ashira, because no one eats it. Why would they make it if no one eats it? And what, you're crazy to make it only for Erev Pesach, Shechal Liot B'Shabbos? How much matzah ashira are you going to eat? We don't eat it any year. So it's not worth it. So there is no matzah ashira. Since there is none, says the Aruch HaShulchan, the only thing you have is bread, and that's off the menu from the morning. So at Shalosh Shudas, you have to eat Basar Dagim Peiros, that's all you got. Arthur, that's the Aruch HaShulchan, word for word. He says there's nothing to do with chametz and matzah and hilchos Pesach. It's practical. It's not in the grocery store. Why is it not in the grocery store? Because the Rama lives in Krakow. And in Krakow, all the Jews follow his piske halacha. And in Krakow, we don't eat egg matzah on Pesach. So you have to be crazy to make it just for one day. And that's it. And therefore, it doesn't exist. There's a big nafkamina from those two interpretations. What's the nafkamina? No, the Yehuda says it might be chametz. Aruch HaShulchan says it's not chametz. That's only on Pesach or Machmir. It just doesn't exist in the stores. Now, what's the nafkamina?
If it doesn't exist in the stores, can you use it?
Ah, we live in Israel. In Israel, Baruch Hashem, in gathering of exiles, Shechiyanu v'kiyamanu v'yigiyanu l'zman hazeh, egg matzahs are in the stores. For Sfardim that eat it on Pesach. So we got it. So maybe now, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, great idea. It's great. It's not matzah. It's not chametz. It is bread. Use it for Shalosh Shudas. Azoy get. We'll get to the shear in a moment. We'll get to the shear. Hold on with the shear. The shear is the least of our issues, but we'll get to it. According to the Noda B'Yehuda, since it's chametz, you can't eat it for Shalosh Shudas after Mincha because it's chametz. And we consider it chametz. So there's a big nafkamina how to understand the Rama. If the Rama is just practical, we got a solution. If the Rama is not practical, the Rama is halachic, we don't have a solution. Rav Moshe Feinstein, by the way, agrees with the Noda B'Yehuda. I don't think he quotes him, but the Rav Moshe Feinstein, and I quote, says, Pashut le'echol bebeit tzudot matzah ashira, aval le'echol rak ad azman sh'reshaim le'echol chametz. So therefore he says, for the first two meals, matzah ashira is the best idea. Namely, it's not chametz, it's not matzah, but it is bread. But by the time you get to Shalosh Shudas, which is after Mincha, you can't eat matzah ashira, you got no breira, you can have to have the Shalosh Shudas, where you compromise on the menu. Or, like the Maharam did, you'll compromise on the time, you'll eat it in the morning. You'll have two meals in the morning already. And in the afternoon, eat basar and peiros, just in case you're wrong. That's a little ridiculous, but that's what the Maharam did. So, to make a long story short, we just took one issue today. One issue. A small issue. Shalosh Shudas and Lechem Mishneh. And we got so fablungent in an hour shear of what to do. But we gave a few solutions, and each one is a compromise. And as you could see, Hilchos Shabbos, the obligation of Lechem Mishneh, the obligation to eat three meals, meets Hilchos Pesach, and they have to somehow walk together because they don't fit in like my two hands are fitting into each other exactly. It's not mathematics. So either you use matzah ashira, assuming it's not bread, it's not matzah, it is bread, but it's not chametz, and it is not matzah, or you say, no, matzah ashira might be matzah, therefore you can use it on Erev Pesach. Or you may say it's not even bread and you can't use it. Second solution is to eat bread, and then your Shalosh Shudas is off the table. Or you eat Shalosh Shudas early in the morning, and you're compromising on the time. Or you're eating Shalosh Shudas in the afternoon, and you're compromising on the menu. Whatever it might be, Shalosh Shudas on Erev Pesach, Shechal Liot B'Shabbos, is a compromise. And you're going to have to compromise one way or the other. So we had a lively discussion today, and I believe this will be the way we will continue to discuss these issues in the next few weeks. And I encourage everyone, go online, find pamphlets for Erev Pesach Shechaliot B'Shabbos, so you know the issues, and we can discuss them around this table. But you should know them before we discuss them. You shouldn't come to this table and say, ooh, I didn't know there was a Shalosh Shudas obligation on Shabbos. Ooh, I didn't know that Shabbos is part of the week. No. Shabbos is part of the week, and Pesach is on the agenda, and Be'ezrat Hashem, everyone here should read up on the issues. I'll be very happy after the Shir, Bruce. I'll send you one in English and one in Hebrew. People can have and read it at their leisure as we get to next week. And we'll discuss the issues openly. And obviously, in this particular forum, every question is kosher. Every suggestion will be considered. And more importantly, remember that we're mekayim the halacha of shloshim yom lifnei achag. We're learning Hilchos Achag. So Baruch Hashem, we're able to do a lot in one shir. That's it for today, folks. Any questions before we adjourn?
Thank you, Rabbi Goldstein. The brother's episode online.
Great. Right on time. Have a good day, everyone.